This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Advantages Digital Learning Solutions, where learning is reimagined.
Hello, and welcome to Learning Reimagined. I'm Allison Dampier, and with me, as always, is Sandy Gamba. Good afternoon, Sandy.
Hi, Allison. I'm so excited about today's guest.
I am as well. Why don't you tell our listeners who we have with us today?
We are going to be interviewing Tony Scott, and he is an expert in just really fueling and introducing youth, specifically like students ages 5 through 17, you know, those that can't go to the local gyms when, you know, the adults, the parents are going, or just really just providing some insight to physical activity. So, and how important that is. So I'm really excited to hear his viewpoints and his ideas.
Oh, fantastic. Tony, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Allison and Sandy, of course.
Tony, tell us a little bit about your background. How you are currently with Glitch Fitness, but I know that is a newer endeavor of yours. So tell us who you are, where you came from, and how you ended up with Glitch.
Oh, okay. So basically, I'm actually native born American, obviously American, but from Nevada, Las Vegas. So I was born and raised in Las Vegas. Back when it was a small town, my parents were both educators, raised in the within the current and, you know, local education scene with a big background there. But as I grew up, I always was playing sports, always was involved in athletics. But that makes sense because my mother was my PE teacher in grade school. So,
fantastic.
So my mom was the PE teacher. So like all the drills and everything that she was doing with her classes, she tried on me first before class. And so I've kind of got a background with kind of this thing. So it kind of evolved as I grew older. I ended up on the strip doing valet. I paid my way through college doing valet at the MGM Grand.
And valet, not valet with a V, valet with a B.
Valet with a V, yes.
With a V. I apologize. Okay, I thought you were saying valet. I'm like, you don't look like a ballerino.
No, that's great. No, not ballet with a V, valet. So I paid my way through school, ended up staying in it because the money was pretty decent. And, you know, to go into professions at the time, I had two young kids and I would have took a huge pay cut. So I ended up staying in a long time. Then she got to the point where I was like, I want something more. I want to use my skills to do things and help people. Got into Raw Fitness, which is a local workout facility here in Vegas. Great company. And started doing group fitness training there. And then one thing led to another. I had a couple of my coaches that I knew from back in the day, found out I was training at Raw. They asked if I could step in and start training some of their high school teams. So I started with Green Valley Soccer, Green Valley High School, both their boys and girls teams. Been doing that now almost 7 years in the summers. Mm-hmm. And now it eventually evolved to me opening my own kids gym where I work with exclusively with kids. And teams and high school teams, junior high teams, all kinds of different stuff. So it's been a dream of mine come true, and it kind of just naturally kind of went there. And I really accredited a lot back to my background with my mother and PE back when I was a kid. It's really crazy how it's come full circle.
Oh my gosh, I love the story. I didn't realize that piece. Your mom must be so proud of you.
Oh, she's like, I always knew you were going to work with kids.
So you've opened now a studio just for youth.
Yes.
And did, if I read correctly on your webpage, that it came about during COVID.
Yes, it actually, that's when we finally decided to go all in. For me, it had to be an all in because I always had that valet job. I tried different jobs over the years, but I always had that valet job in the background that was such easy money and such a simple job. And so whenever things got difficult, when I would try something new, I ended up kind of just falling back to valet and going, this is so easy. So I basically said to my wife, COVID was in like about 3 months. We went, it was 4th of July weekend, right after COVID hit, and we were up in camping. And I said to her, I go, hon, I want to do it. I think we should do it. And I go, but here's the scary part. If we're going to do this, I go, we got to sell the house. And she's like, why? You know? And I was like, because I go, I just want the money to be able to open this. I don't want to have to take out loans. I don't want to, you know, I go, and the other thing too, is I know by doing this, it's an abrupt change in my life. So she supported me 100%. We sold the house. We took the proceeds from the house and turned into opening this business. And we just went,
wow.
So, yeah, it's crazy. We live in a two bedroom apartment now. And what's crazy is, you know how real estate's been. So it's almost we're paying much for this apartment as we did for our old house. But anyway, it's craziness. So it's literally been like, I'm doing this. I'm 46 years old. And if I don't live my dream now, I'm not going to do it. So I was like, I have an amazing wife and she just 100% said, let's do it then. So my kids are now living in an apartment with me and my wife, and we're going through it all, and we're building this business from the ground up, and it's so exciting. Scary, lots of scary times, but it's so exciting. I love it. I love what I do.
Now, Tony, I'm not a business advisor. Uh-huh. However, starting a company in the middle of a global pandemic probably wasn't advisable.
Okay. So let me give you background on how I'm also a very careful person. This is the craziest thing I've ever done in my life.
I'm not getting that from you whatsoever.
No, I really am. I am a careful person. So I said to her, I made sure I was already doing youth classes at Raw. I threw it out as you might remember this, Sandy. I don't know if you're around when I started the youth classes there, but basically when I was doing this, I hit up all the St. Rose members, the gym I worked at, and I said, hey, any of you parents, if I were to start a kids class, kind of like what I do here with you guys, would you be interested? And a lot of the parents, I had like about 30 to 40 parents. I put my email on the board. I asked the owner if I could do this and say this. And he's like, yeah, of course. And he gave me full permission to use the gym. It was awesome. So anyway, first signups, we were hoping to get 25 kids. And we had opened two classes to sign up for. We sold out of those two classes in the first like 3 days. So we had to open third class and a fourth class. We ended up with 65 kids on the first signup. And I was like,
wow,
oh my gosh, you know what happened here? So every weekend we were teaching classes starting at like 9 a.m. going till 4 p.m. on whenever we could get it, especially Sundays, because that's the day that Justin's gym was closed. Mm-hmm. And he let me use it. So it was crazy. So anyway, so full disclosure, I didn't go in with like no students, no parents on
sure.
my side.
Right.
I went in with a support group, and we call them. I actually have a plaque over here with all of our founding members who invested in us before we even opened our doors and said, I love what you're doing. We're going to give you this much money up front so you can work with our kids. So it's been a labor of love, and the outpouring of the community, especially at Raw Fitness and in the Vegas Valley, of a lot of the people I've known, you know, grew up here, when they found out what I was doing and letting me work with their kids, it brings me to tears sometimes, that because I know what it's like to put your children in someone else's hands, you know, mm-hmm. and for them to trust me enough to do that and feel that I'm worthy of that with their children, it's an honor I can't speak about. It's great.
It's a testament to you, Tony, as well. I've known you for just a couple months now, but I gravitate to your class, and that's by design. Oh. And it's because of your personality. And I love that Justin, who started Raw, he's an incredible businessman, entrepreneur. So for him to pour this energy and love into your concept, it really does help our next generation.
In
so many ways. And I think that it really speaks to, you've been in the Valley, you've been here in Las Vegas your whole life. And so many of us drop in and make this our home, and you're able to foster that community through Glitch.
Yes. It's truly been an honor. I mean, like I said, though, I can't emphasize enough, like, you know, cause I've always been an employee my whole life. Like I've always, mm-hmm. you know, had a safe cush job, you know, and it's been, the growth in just trying to, you know, not only have this great idea and this great concept that so many people support, but then to try to keep growing it so you can help more kids, you know, like mm-hmm. that's always like, it's funny. They're trying to get me down and going, okay, well, what's your 5-year and your 10-year goal and all this. And they wanted me to spit out numbers, like financial numbers.
Sure.
I haven't even thought about money. That's not what motivates me. It's mm-hmm. how many kids can I help? How many people can I affect? How many people can I ripple go through? Because if I can hurt a few people's minds and a few kids' minds on the importance of health, especially after COVID. Like, I think we became to the forefront. Like, we got to really watch out for our health, guys. Like mm-hmm. this isn't, I'm sure this isn't the last time something like this or similar, I hope it's not like this, happens, but we got to be ready for it the next time. And I think it's a whole generation of children who, and don't even, I'm sure that'll be a topic, but the whole video game thing, right? Like, video games are not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. They're going to continue to grow. So we need to work with our children to figure out a way to incorporate. That's kind of how we have the name Glitch, is I knew that Glitch is a gaming term. And, you know, so we went through this whole thing, but I know gamers, like if I ask my kids what they do or consider themselves, 8 out of every 10 say they're a gamer. If I had to say three things, say, tell me three things about you, they will say they're a gamer. 8 out of 10.
Wow.
Yep. Interesting. 8 out of 10. So that, in my experience with the kids I've worked with, and I'm just like, wow. So think of that, you know, like how do I tap into that and fun? We got to make fitness mm-hmm. fun. That's the whole
absolutely trick. When anyway. My kids were little, they wanted, they were younger. They wanted some sort of gaming platform. I don't even know what you call it in the house. And I said, absolutely not. No, we're not going to do that. And then I ended up succumbing to the pressure, but I bought them the Wii because I felt that's an active one. And so I felt so much better. Like, we would play tennis on the Wii and I would sweat, you know, and dance revolution. And like, it was a bit of a workout. So I felt pretty good about the whole thing. So, it's a hard one to balance because it does work as an addiction, technology and gaming specifically. It's such a factor in these kids' lives. And it comes at a time where we see in education, funding for physical education is getting cut. And it's terrifying. I was just reading an article from the Association of Supervision and Curriculum Development, the ASCD, and they were talking about how it is vital to have physical education in the classrooms because it really aids in all of their development and success in the classroom. But yet schools are eliminating PE to increase time on math and reading. And to me, as an educator, I think that's counterproductive.
I 100% believe that. The kids I work with, one of the main things that the parents say when they bring their kid in is they're like, please just make him move. Get him moving. He doesn't move enough. Mm-hmm. And think about it, when a kid doesn't move enough, how they're going to be antsy. They're going to have all this built up energy. Think about it. A kid's body is made to move. It's young. It's vibrant. These muscles mm-hmm. bones are growing. It needs to move and use them. And if we continue to keep cutting that away with this emphasis on furthering their mass, I don't want to say an argument, a discussion with my son on the way, dropping him off to 8th grade this morning. And he said, Dad, I just don't know why we have to keep going further and further and further in math. He goes, I know the basics of math. He goes, but why do I need to know that X squared plus Y squared plus V squared equals, you know, this to the 17th power. And then we got to solve for V. He goes, have you ever, and this is where it's hard as a parent. He goes, have you ever used that in your life? And I was like, no, I haven't. I've never used that. You know, I've never gone that far into math. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you're going to be an engineer, if you're going to be, you know, I understand there is a place for it. There is 100%.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All kids, why are we lumping them all in on this same education for just in case a few of them want to be an engineer? They need to all know them. Well, the vast majority of them are not. So I understand that's probably what you guys handle a lot. Like, why don't we have more? Why don't we allow kids to follow their own path more in school? Why don't we allow them to dictate where their boat's sailing? Give them a little more leeway. And I try to do that in class. One of my most popular workouts here is, I call it pick your own workout. And I'll put 3 or 4 ideas of this kind of leg workouts here, 3 or 4 of upper body, 3 or 4 of core, 3 or 4 of cardio. And then in between that, when they complete so many, they get to play a game together with their partner. And then we go from the game, and then whoever wins the top score gets to go roll the wheel of, we call it, I used to call it the wheel of death, right? check this out. So one of the little girl, she looks at me and goes, the wheel of death? And I was like, well, that's just something I say. And she goes, that's scary. And I go,
oh, well, sweet girl.
I go, well, how about we call it the Wheel of Puppies and Rainbows then? She goes, okay. So now we jokingly, it's been almost a year now, but we still, like some of my original kids still always go, Tony, that's not the Wheel of Death, coach. That's the Wheel of Puppies and Rainbows.
I love it. Oh, anyway, that's so funny.
They get to roll the wheel. And whatever it comes up, whatever exercise, the loser of the game has to do that exercise. So we always make it fun. They can roll dice and the dice dictate a number, which allows them to choose something. But they just love it. Like I let them have so much ownership in these words. I have a rough script, but then I let them move me. Of course, I'm their guide. So if it goes too far out of bounds, I pull back. And it, you know, but I believe that that's what we should be doing, not only just as someone who's working with kids in physical fitness, but in any form of education. Every child is so different. And I wish we could somehow find a way to cater to those differences better. And that's what Glitch are trying to do, is find ways that we can try to touch every child, because every child's different. And I know that's a hard undertaking. Believe me, it's hard. But there are always kids that come in and go, oh, I just didn't like the workout today. And you're going to get that, you know? Yeah. And I go, what did you learn from it? Why didn't you like it? And then we talk about it, and then we start learning something deeper about them. And I go, maybe that's something we need to work on with you, you know? And so anyway, yeah, really cool stuff. It's been a journey.
It's been so interesting to read also that the importance of getting students to be active between the ages of 6 and 8, it's pretty critical. And it addresses the anxiety that you mentioned and really tailored, like helping address the depression piece and
ADHD. Big time.
The more active these kids are, you're tapping into this and truly making a difference as they're growing up. So what have you found with your students?
Oh, so I in addition to those, 100%. So 6 to 8 years old is such a crucial time where you know, the brain is developing a lot of synapses. It's going through, I don't know all the technical terms, but it's developing these links to between the fingers, the toes, the head, you know, and how to move those with timing and, coordination, balance, all these different crucial things are happening in those years right there. Mm-hmm. And by us continually decreasing this time that we're putting kids in these situations where they can develop those skills is doing nothing but a disservice to them. So one of the most shocking things to me is that we have something in the back of our gym called a dumpster sprint. Basically, in our back of our gym, we have this big lot, and there's a dumpster at this end, you know, kind of a place, and there's a dumpster at this end. And we have them run out and then run around the two dumpsters and then run back to the door. It's 1/16th of a mile. So it's not very far at all. Like an average child can jog it in like 28 seconds, right? Jogging it. If they sprint it, they can do it in like 20, you know? So it's not a big run. I don't want to say a lot, but there's a decent percentage. I'd say 20 to 30% of the kids that I get in here for the first time, we'll run them on a dumpster sprint just to start the class, just as part of the warm up. And some of these kids cannot finish it. They have to walk or they get back to the door and they're holding their heart. They're holding their side. They're holding their legs.
Oh, Tony, that's so depressing.
It's really crazy. It's really crazy. And it just makes me go, okay, now I know where we're starting. But what's crazy is I will work with these kids for a period of 2 to 3 months, you know, as they come in, and I will remind them every time they run a dumpster sprint, you know, you're just trying to get every day you're just trying to get a little bit better than you were yesterday. That's all you're doing. You just give it your all and you show up and we're going to get you in so much better shape. You're not going to believe it. Yeah. So 3 months. And now they're doing a triple dumpster sprint to start their warm up.
Nice.
And I go, do you remember when you started? And every time they'll have this big smile on their face. And I go, you should be so proud of yourself because you should be yourself and you did this. And that's the biggest thing that I've had people. If you look at our ratings, you know, we have 5-star ratings all over. But that's the biggest thing I see is they go, you taught my child to be proud of himself. You taught my daughter to be proud of herself. And that's a big thing. Like, that's huge because we don't want to raise our children being like wanting my praise. We want to raise children wanting their own praise. Like, I want you to be proud of yourself because someday
you're
not around anymore. I want you to be proud of yourself. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to get...
And that brings the motivation intrinsically. You know, you don't... You are starting the encouragement and getting them to believe in themselves, but it has to come from within. And so you're kind of like the caffeine that gets them going. But then once they start seeing the results, it makes such a difference, and it transfers to all aspects of their life. That's why I truly believe physical education is essential. And when I was in the classroom, so we're talking, 20 years ago, 24 years ago, before it was like really at the start of video gaming becoming like central to their lives. And at the same time, they started to cut down physical education. I think my students had PE once or twice a week, depending on the rotation. And I think that's garbage. We should have it daily. And so every morning, my kids, they had the lineup before they come to the classroom. Before I took them into the class, we did PE for like 15 minutes. It was about what I could do. And so I would make them, we'd do a lap around the blacktop. I made them do jumping jacks, just silly stuff, just to get that on my own. And then I would also have them do sit-ups and push-ups. And I had the sweet boy, Dennis. Dennis loved his video games. And he's like, oh, Miss Dampier, I don't do this stuff. I don't sweat. I go, well, you do with me just 15 minutes a day. And he could not do a sit-up. Could not manage when I'd have him do, I think I had him doing 10 sit-ups, nothing major. Dennis could not do one. And I said, Dennis, you're just going to every morning, I know you're not going to get to 10 right now, and that's okay. You're just going to go and do the motion. You're going to just see if you can get up. He could not propel his body into the sit-up position. And I'm like, every day, you're just going to work on it. And it was the most gratifying thing when he finally was able to get to one. He nearly cried. He was so excited. And I nearly cried because I'm like, how does a sixth grader not be able to do one sit-up? But that aside, he got there, you know, he got there. And it scares me to think, looking back, that was 20 some odd years ago. And now gaming and devices have become so much more like leading to a sedentary lifestyle that we really need people like you out there to get this kind of thing going. But then we also have the family. So this is what I want to touch on with you next.
Yes.
We have families who can't necessarily afford to put their kids into organized sports or into a program like this. What can the mother or the father do with their kids to really encourage this type of lifestyle in the home? Because that's really what we are looking for now, is lifestyle changes.
Yes. Okay. So you did take me full circle to what we've evolved to already, just in I think we're almost at 2 years here, but since we opened our doors and did this, we are, obviously it's a duh statement, but that 6 to 12 year olds can't feed themselves. They can't allow themselves to go outside. They can't, you know, all these things that they should be doing, right? Is not happening because the parents need more education. It's not that the parents, I have not met a single parent yet that doesn't care. we innately care about our children. The thing is, we don't know how to help them. So what we're realizing, my wife and I, Tabitha, she's a nutritional therapist. So she's finding her working with more and more of the mothers. At first she started bringing in the child with the mother. But then you got a 7-year-old child who's trying to learn about fats and proteins. She's good. So what we realized is, let's just get the mother in here. Let's get the mother in. Let's take this as a family issue from the top down. And we need to re-educate the mothers and the fathers. And we need to re-educate and let them know that, look, the more you get into this, the more your children are going to get into this, because they're going to follow you. So that's where we're at. So that's why we started family classes. So as part of our program here on Saturdays and Sundays at 1 o'clock, we want the parent to come in with their child, and that we will do small, fun, same classes the kids do, but now the parents are involved with their kid.
And it's fun.
The whole game. So now these parents are like, I didn't know this is what you did with our kids. And I'm like, time. And they're like, yeah. I go, are you sweating? And he goes, I feel like I'm going to die. You know, and we'll just start laughing. And I'm like, Dad, thank you for being here. Huge step. I go, now I need you to continue this. I go, we got to start looking into how you can set up just starting light. Let's not scare you. One day a week, can you take your kid to the park for 30 minutes? And I give them some ideas of things they can do on the playground with their kid. And I'm like, Let's just start slow. Let's get you moving. But we need to instill this habit in you, Dad, so you can then through osmosis, your kid's going to pick it up. Because the more you're moving and the more you're working out, and the more you're watching what you eat, your child's going to naturally do it. You don't even have to tell them to. They're going to just do it. You know,
right.
Let's do that. Let's lead by example. So that's the next evolution of that. And that's kind of, I have so many ideas of where I want to go. It's just, there's only one me. No, but I'm like, I would love to start some sort of online platform where parents can share these things they've done with their kids that they tried at a park, they did here or did in their own home that encouraged movement and it was fun. Because if we could just come up with some kind of huge database where all parents can just pop on and go, dude, I want to spend some time with my kid. Oh, here it is.
What am I going to do? Right.
Yeah. Here, he tried this at the park the other day. That sounds fun. Oh, let's do that. You know, like, so that's where we're going with that. And I obviously am collecting, making my own database of all these things. Cause I, like, I call it a, like when you go to the park, you have that little playground thing. Right. And everybody just, the parents kind of stare at it and go, yeah, go play on the playground, kid. That's usually what the parents do. And then they go over and they get on their sadly leading by example with technology. Right. Myself included. I'm not dogging parents right now, myself included. I get caught on the phone a lot. They're designed to catch you on it. They're designed. Yeah. So anyway, what I started doing was I took my watch, right? And I let the kids use my watch. Hey, it's your turn to time me. I go, we're going to do this. And we get to make our own obstacle course. You have to go through. You got to crawl over this slide. You got to go up the slide here. You got to run down. And then whoever gets back first, we're going to time you. And we're going to try to beat each other. And the kids, they will do it for hours.
Hours. We would do that as well. And then my husband would design these things for the kids at the park. And then as they got a little bit older, they said, it's our turn. We want to design it. And they would come up with these elaborate exercises to do this. It was hilarious. I'm like, I can't do that. I'm not going to jump off the top. I mean, they were crazy.
And it's a half mile away and you're like, I'm not one. You're crazy, kid.
But they make it fun. And that's the biggest thing. Timing kids is like a game changer. Always want to beat the clock or beat their sibling or whatever, or beat their own time. Go over there. I'll time you, you know? And it's just, they dig it.
Hold the watch and time. Oh, they love it. There's like,
they do.
Push this button, do this. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, it really is. It's empowering kids active. Like we're empowering them. We're letting them, hey, you now what's the obstacle course you want to do? You know, and they have ownership. We all know this as adults. The more ownership you have in something, the more you tend to get involved. Obviously, the better you want to do, and the more you want to make yourself proud and make those around you proud or impressed, right? Mm-hmm. It's all ownership is a huge thing. And by taking away PE in schools, we're taking away these children's ability to have the basic muscular and skeletal structure to be able to make these movements. We are literally depriving them of their ability to build these foundations to be able to make these movements in the future. And think about it. It's so hard to get a kid who's 11 or 12 and is completely sedentary.
Yeah.
And to try to flip them around. I mean, obviously it's easier than adult because an adult's 30 or 35 or 40.
Right.
But
50.
I'd rather get them at 12 any day. But I'm just, you would have started them at 6, at 5.
Right.
It would have
make it a part of their lifestyle.
This is really So
Tony, what would be your top 3 or 5? Give you some leeway there. Tips for parents. What steps should they be taking right now? Let's say they're starting from ground zero. What would be 3 to 5 suggestions you would give a parent?
First, I know how big I'm with my calendar. Most people are, most adults are. We've been trained to be big with our calendar. You need to schedule in time every week. Start slow. Schedule in time every week to be with your child. Okay. And I'm not like be in the same vicinity. I'm not talking like you're sitting next to your child, you're on your phone and they're on their device. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you need to be present with your child, looking them in the eyes and speaking to them. You need to, you know, interacting with them. Okay. Now, obviously you could just start at that. That would be a great start. Okay. Obviously we want to eventually evolve that to you're doing movement with your child, but just start slow. I know some parents are like, I don't hang out with my kid. He's a kid. I'm an adult. But really, I think parents need to get out of that mindset and go, the more time I spend with my child, treating them like a young person and letting them have a conversation with me and asking them their opinions, huge start. Okay. That's probably, I'd say number one, you got to schedule it in. First off. Second off, nutrition is a big part of this, guys. I say it all the time with my adults. I go 10% of your weight loss journey, because a lot of with adults, it's a weight loss journey. I don't do that with kids. We don't even mention that's not important at all. But whatever their journey is, you need to make sure that they know that 90% of it is what they're putting in their mouth and fueling their body with. 10% of it is how much they're moving. Okay. So we need both. We definitely need both. Mm-hmm, but the next thing to do is set some sort of let's be mindful of what we're eating. Don't even take food away yet. Don't even take away. Well, if they're eating donuts for breakfast right now, okay. Obviously we both know they could probably be eating something better, but at this point, let's not overdo it with you. Okay. Let's just go, hey, what's something else we could eat instead of a donut, son? What do you think? Like if we were going to try something out this week, what's something different you'd want to try? They might say cereal, right? But if that's the case, why don't you take them to the store and let them pick out a cereal and go out of these six and pick ones with lower added sugar, right? There. And basically I would say to parents, start slow. Work on something with nutrition, and I can give you all kinds of ideas. Fine, we could be here forever. And work on something with movement. But the other thing too is you gotta schedule time to be present with your child. When you get in the car and you're driving to school in the morning, turn your radio off. Turn your radio off. Speak to your child. That's the radio in the morning. Like those kind of things.
I'm
trying to think of other general big things they could do to get kids being more active. Oh. Check this out. I've done this to my kids all the time. They go, hey, what's that game you're playing? Oh, dad, it's this. Blah, blah, blah. Because my kids play games too. I'm not going to sit. I am not the parent that's going to sit here and go, I'm perfect. This is what I do.
It's about balance.
I'm trying harder than a lot of people to learn how we can tweak this. That's all it is. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll go, let me play for you for 20 minutes. I go, tell you what, you show me how to play your game for 20 minutes. And then after that, you're going to go and we're going to do something with me for 20 minutes and I'm going to dictate what we're doing. And they're like, okay, all the time.
Yeah. So that's a good technique.
And we'll go, okay, now this is what I want to do. This would make me really excited to see you do this with me. It would make me really happy. Can you do this with me? Sure. We're going to try this. And it could be.
That's awesome. And they love to share their stupid video games. They really do. My kids would get so excited for me to play whatever.
At it. They just want to like with you. Yeah. You're their
guy.
You want to hear the craziest thing? Sorry, I'm a tangent guy. You want to hear the craziest thing? I remember going, I was trying to explain to my kids what God was when they were young. What God entails. What is God?
Okay.
And I'm going, it's this person you trust beyond anybody. It's this person that would never let you down. And I'm saying all these like huge, great things about God, right? And I go, think about it. I go, so if you think those things, I go, do you understand what God is? And they both went like this and they pointed at me. It's hard for me to tell this story because I'm getting teary-eyed right now. It literally made me
It's just the perspective. You put it out there and then they turn around and just.
I am God to these kids. So right. I have responsibility to do everything I can to give them the chances in life that they can get. And it starts with treating them like a little human being that is going to grow up and a big human being someday. Mm-hmm. And it takes FaceTime. It takes conversation and it takes our time. We have to invest time in our children. We cannot expect other people to do it. Now I'm here to get them started. That's my guide. I'm the guide, right? Mm-hmm. But I want to teach parents the tools so they don't need me. And I want them to be able to do this. I would love that more than anything. Everybody goes, you don't want to send kids away from your gym. I go, I just want them active.
Right.
I will be here. But I'm not in competition with anybody else out there who's trying to get kids active. I will help in any way I can to get people to help people kids get active. That's what I want. Period.
Yeah, that's I love it. I think you are an amazing human doing that. And I have all of these reports here on my desktop that talk about how aerobic exercise improves memory and it improves executive functioning in school age youth. All of these the data is there.
Limitless.
And the schools I just, it's so incredibly frustrating that the schools are letting us down. And so parents, yet again, have one more thing that they need to do to ensure their student, their children are progressing. And someone like you, Tony, you're giving them such support in that. And I wish everybody had a Tony in their life to really get that going for their kids, because it's vital. It's vital. And not even going into the obesity epidemic that we face, you know?
Yep.
It's vital. So parents out there, if you're listening, you know, just take the steps that Tony is explaining. Just start with some FaceTime with your kids and then, you know, make the baby steps.
It really is. I know, I believe I'm like every other adult out there in a lot of ways. And I know that if I try to take on too much at once, I end up getting overwhelmed. I ended up dropping the ball somewhere and then I feel like a failure and I stop. That is not. So we want you to start super simple, like really, really once a week for 20 minutes. I'm talking like that. So that way we know you're going to be successful. That's how I work with kids too. If I know that not run a single dumpster sprint, I'm not going to ask him to come in and do 25 chest to ground burpees. He is going to fail. I do not want him to fail. I'm going to ask him to try to do one burpee and I'm going to do it with him. And we're going to take a minute and a half to do that one burpee if we need to, but I'm going to make sure.
I personally hate burpees. So I support the student that doesn't want to do them. They are the worst of the worst in the exercise room.
Come on.
Tony, that roadmap, and like Allison was saying, there's so many benefits, but even longer term, the confidence, the self-esteem, the mindset, that will trickle into their perseverance and everything else. It's so critical for all of these little humans to feel like they can do that next step in life.
And
it just lays the groundwork.
Yeah.
Yep.
When they were younger, I was a stay-at-home mom for a bit, and they would go grocery shopping with me. And of course, if you pay attention in the grocery store, you see that the sugar cereals are at kid level. And so they were always grabbing the sugar pops and the Lucky Charms and the whatevers. And I made a general rule. I said, if it has under 10 grams of sugar, we can get it. And they would get so mad. But here they are now at 20 years old, 20 and 21 years old. They live by that same rule. Oh, I can't get that. It has too much sugar. Because that's what, you know, that was instilled in them. Anything above 10 grams of sugar. Yeah, right? I felt very proud of that one. And then my other little tip for parents, Lunchables are like the rage. All of the elementary kids want to take the Lunchables to school. And so they were begging, can we please take a Lunchable? So I said, okay, let's look at it. I picked it up and I'm looking at the ingredients. And I said, if I can't pronounce it, you can't eat it. And so then they started going through all of the Lunchables and like, I can't pronounce that one. So it was hilarious. So they couldn't eat any of the stupid Lunchables because there's words in there. I don't even know what they mean. And so that was another little tip that I gave to my kids. Like, if you can't pronounce it, you can't eat it.
I love
it. And so those are two little things that helped with our nutrition journey. It is hard because they are fed so much like crap in advertising and other kids at school. And they just see all of the treats and the zero nutritional value of food. But that's what they all want.
Lunches at school. It's just unfortunate.
Pizza, chunks, and then microwaved sandwiches and, everything else that's completely processed and you know, on that route, that's a whole nother.
I think we might want to have your wife on.
I know.
I think she can share some
accessible fast food is. Fast food is accessible and it's cheaper than healthy food. So it's more accessible and it's cheaper.
Correct.
And shelf life is much longer. So it's everything is set up against, you know, whole foods and natural food. Like another quick side story. We went into when my son was in second grade, third grade, my youngest son was in second or third grade. We went into his classroom. Tabitha brought in green grapes, red grapes, oranges, apples, and the most crazy fruit we brought was a kiwi. Okay. So we bring it in. They're all cut up and diced and every kid gets to try them. They have the toothpicks. We go through the whole thing. There was four kids in there who did not know what an orange was. I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating.
I thought you would say the kiwi, but orange.
Oh, an orange.
They wouldn't even look at because they were like, why is it green with all these black dots all over it? There's something wrong with it. Right. But they didn't know what, I go, what's this right here? And he goes, I don't know. And I go, what's this? And I'm thinking English as his second language. Like he didn't know how to say it.
Sure.
He didn't know what it was. And I was like, it's an orange. You don't know what an orange. I go, you need to try this. And he goes, oh, and I was like, that's fruit. It's an orange. You know, some of these kids, they don't know what vegetables are. Like if you ask them what a sweet potato was and a potato, they have no idea what the difference is. We've gotten so far away from our food. Yeah, we've gotten so far pushed away from it to this processed level that we don't know what food is anymore. Like kids don't even know what natural food looks like. It's crazy.
That is crazy. That is, wow.
That is a true reality check, though. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. As our parents are working and just it's the accessibility and the cost. Right now, food has increased so much.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
So it's really impacting our families across the nation. Yep. So just bringing it back to the basics, this is just such a timely conversation, Tony.
And I'm telling you, take some of these 4 to 5 to 6 year olds into the vegetable and fruit section at Vaughn's or Albertsons or whatever, and you tell them, hey, we're going to pick out 2 fruits today and we're going to pick out 2 vegetables. You get to pick them. Let's go. And just that 5 minutes in the grocery store, letting them walk around the little aisles and pick a vegetable that they think looks cool. And then go, why do you think it looks cool? Oh, it's green. Okay. Well, I can't wait to get home and cut it open. Let's see what's inside of it. Like, let these kids know that this is something that's tangible and they can touch. And think about that. That could be your 20-minute appointment with your kid that week. Just take them to the grocery store with you and buy a couple of vegetables and a couple of fruits. That will teach them so much that you don't even realize, like beyond just what a vegetable and a fruit is, but that daddy cares or mommy cares and they're spending this time with me. Daddy's at home with me and letting me use a knife and he's right there helping me. And like there's so many things you can go with that. I guess going back to what you said, Allison, what's the biggest tips you could give 1 through 3? I'd say the biggest one is we need to devote time again to our children and we need to lead by example. So that means parents, you need to start looking into getting a little more active too. You know, I mean, like whatever that is, and that's, there's no one size fits all for that. But it takes the fact that first step is you got to admit it, that you're not active enough and you're not setting a good enough example for your child. I think a lot of people out there can say that. And then second is taking steps to make it happen. And third is doing it. That's always the hardest one, right?
But right.
Those are them. Those are them. Pretty simple.
I love it. Tony, that's great. And for all of our listeners out there on our social media, we will link some of these tips from Tony on our web pages. So keep an eye out for that. Awesome. And Tony, I think you are doing amazing work. I'm glad I was not your business advisor because I would have told you not to do that, not to sell your house. But I'm so glad for the kids of Las Vegas that it's working out for you.
It's been a crazy, crazy blessing. It's been a crazy ride. It's the most, I don't want to say this in a bad way because I love my life and I love everything that's led me to this point. But these last 2 years of my life have been the most exciting years of my life. And sometimes it's just a little over crazy, but it's been a journey and I could not think of a more noble cause than to give the rest of my life to helping children and helping young families know how to have a little more tools in their toolbox to raise their children the best they can. That's what I'm here for.
And what an example you are to your 2 boys.
Thank you.
To see this come to fruition. And I know they helped come up with the name and I just think that that's such a labor of love. So these last 2 years have been just extraordinary and best of luck to you, Tony. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Tony. Thank you so much for your time today.
For sure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Learning Reimagined. If you're enjoying this podcast, please help us spread the word by clicking the subscribe button or share your favorite episodes with families and friends and leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts.